There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. A couple hours for us to hang out. That's cool and easy to get in touch with the show as well through the text line and the phone line. Both have the same phone number. So 343-0106. 343-0106. If you're due to the area, that's 251-343-0106. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, that microphone icon there on the front page, if you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. So check that out as well. All right, I hope y'all had maybe... This man probably had some increased traffic count coming through his county as the Blues flew on Saturday. Heard it was a great show. Wish it could have gone this year, but looked like the weather was great and felt like I was there from all the video that showed up on social media. So I hope you all had a great time. If you want to pepper the text line with pictures, I'm good with that. But yeah, so let's bring on our guest this hour. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry, our guest. Increased traffic coming through Baldwin County going to Pensacola. What'd you see?
Well, Sean, you know, it's one of those times of the year that I think the traffic has increased every weekend. So probably not anything out of the norm, unfortunately. But, yeah, we had a lot of people. A lot of my friends actually went over to see the Blues and had a good time.
Yeah, it's been, I was talking about it at the back of the house with my folks back there, my friends, and it's been 15 years since I've gone. So this next year, 2026, this is my year to go.
Right.
It's something you mentioned there, and we've talked about it, but I was talking to somebody else about this the other day that didn't hear you on the show talking about it, is being a county like Baldwin County, obviously with the size of Baldwin County, the just physical size is one thing, but the population swings at any given time. It's really interesting. I guess they have to deal with this in tourist places out west or, you know, coastal towns and all that, but you talk about the population of Baldwin County on a given, let's make it, I don't know, Saturday in November, residents of Baldwin County, and then what it looks like in the summertime. How many additional people you can see in the county?
Oh, it's just, we double our population easily. So it's one of the things, and like I mentioned earlier, it's kind of become the norm. You start at the end of spring break, really going in and getting into May, and now that we're in the heart of summer, the population 7 days a week is double what we would normally have.
So, I mean, and we've talked about it before, but this is interesting how you navigate that. Because I'm thinking, you know, in a county that doesn't have that kind of tourist population, you work with funding from county commission and other sources. We need X number of deputies to fully serve the citizens of our county. But then you get this increase, this surge of people on top of that. How do you make sure you have enough deputies to do it on like a Independence Day weekend, but you don't have a bunch of people, twiddling their thumbs in November?
Well, you know, part of the deal in the summertime, which we're really benefits us, our school resource officers, they're not in school, so they're not at teaching classes or doing any of those things. So they actually supplement our patrol division and our coastal division with a lot of this increase in population. And obviously they return back to school in August. But again, that's when some of this traffic starts going away. But it's a problem. I'll tell you one thing. You know, there's actually a couple issues here, Sean, to talk about, but you talk about some of this federal funding and the things that we get, those are based on population and your county numbers. Well, sometimes that causes us problems because we can only say Baldwin County has, 300,000 people in it because that's our census population. So we're hurt in that area, and it's something we deal with. And it's not just, with, you know, grants, that sort of stuff, it impacts us, you know, our casework, our working with the coroner's office. Seems like a lot of people come down here and pass away. It's just a it's impactful in a lot more areas than one would think.
Yeah, it's got to be hard saying, yeah, I know that our population says X, but y'all got to come on down here. Let me show you what it looks like on a given weekend. A couple of things. I hadn't gotten to talk to you since the news came up. It was last month, I guess. And it wasn't jellyfish and it wasn't sargassum, but it was cocaine washing ashore in Baldwin County. And I know you had put out some memos on social media and all that about what people can do, don't do when they see this. I'll ask you this question because I know you're a sportsman like me. If, okay, and then we'll get the serious part, but this is mine. If we come up upon these bundles offshore, okay, and there happens to be some really good keeper blackfish under it, or dolphin, can I catch the fish and then call them in? What's the
yeah, little... I mean, I think that's the responsible thing to do. You want to get those fish away from those illegal drugs, John.
I think that's
the American thing to do.
I just always wondered, if I came upon that, could I get on the radio and say, report it in, and then say, but I'm going to stick with it here a second because there's about a 22-pound blackfish on it, so I got to try to catch it.
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you, though, you know, when that of course, we had that bundle show up, and we periodically do have this, loss loads or dump loads, that sort of stuff. But I wondered to myself, is that going to be an increase in something we see is, you know, as the border has been controlled, is being controlled much better. And actually, I looked at some Border Patrol numbers that were sent to me from May of 25 and May of 24, and it was just unbelievable the number of contacts and how they'd gone down by Border Patrol. And so knowing that that's the source of how these drugs are getting into the country at that time, you know, are we going to see more of this? And I think the answer is, yeah, we probably will.
Okay, well, you preceded what I was going with there. It is interesting because I was wondering, number one, the question of how that happens, right? When we get these bundles out, do you think they dropped them off at a point, another boat never picked them up? They saw Coast Guard or y'all, they dumped them, you know, because they're not always just on the beach. There have been reports of them offshore, and of course, currents can take them back offshore easily. But I wonder what happens because this is their. It's a lot of money in whatever, cocaine or fentanyl or marijuana, whatever they got, that they just dump them like that seems, I mean, over your history and law enforcement, what seems to be the reasoning on that?
Well, I think it's all the things that you talked about. I think they're, you know, they dump a load if they see Coast Guard or something coming. Then keep in mind, a lot of these boats that you routinely see hauling drugs, they're not the safest. I mean, they're not running Freemans out there. They've got wood boats and they've got a lot of issues. And of course, the little mini subs that, you know, that's become popular, that's a whole different animal itself. There, I mean, they're barely seaworthy enough to be out in the water, much less trying to make the trek across the whole Gulf.
Yeah, I'll say this: I don't think I'm giving them any ideas they hadn't already had, so people don't text in on it. But with the aquatic drone technology I talk about a bunch, what Ukraine used against the Russian Black Sea Fleet, those things are like just barely subaquatic. You have a drone operation of that to bring it in somewhere, you know, that's going to be a lot harder to spot, and there's no one to arrest at that point.
No, and I'll tell you, it's, you know, when we were at the border, one of the things that we learned from Border Patrol is the cartel, I mean, they're very well equipped. They have everything that you can imagine drone-wise. From the simple drones, I was told they would go into the Best Buy right across the border, and they would buy every drone on the shelf. And but since then, you know, the cartel has heavy connections to other countries that has military-grade drones, and it wouldn't surprise me that those get put in use.
Now, you talked about it's interesting because it's the whack-a-mole game. I mean, I saw it here. You know, talked to Sheriff Birch about this over time, former Sheriff Cochran. Like, when it got tougher, the laws got tougher on the people making the meth here, right? They said, they, you know, stomp that out, but he said, we didn't stop the demand, and all of a sudden it started coming through the border, right, from Mexico. So this is that whack-a-mole game, I guess. The border gets tight down there, and now it goes back to this Miami Vice stuff with it out in the Gulf.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. There's, you know, when we went after the border, and I'll say that the, you know, with the border being shut down, that's just something we it's going to always change. I had a friend, actually, I went to college with, that he was over operations for FBI on doing illegal trafficking through all the waterways and coming up through the Bahamas and different things. And even then, you know, the cartel was constantly adjusting their strategies. And that's the same thing we see here locally. I mean, that's a world problem, but we see it here locally. Our local drug dealers do the same things. They change their means and methods, you know, to get that product on the street.
Now, but the good news is I've watched it. Thank God the number of fentanyl overdoses has come down. You talk about the, you know, the pulling people over and having it. There has been some reduction here on this fentanyl.
Yeah, there absolutely been a reduction. And I think that, you know, our drug crimes are trending down. We arrest people every day, but I think our numbers are going to show in the first half of this year that drug crimes are down.
Now, I will say on the flip side, this, of course, making news last week, as a Baldwin County man has been charged with manslaughter after a woman died from a fentanyl overdose. Is in any of that what we talked about, the fact that you can get things tested and turned around quickly, you had told us in the past?
That was a perfect case of what we talked about before.
Okay, explain how that happened. Yeah, because you set this up before.
So essentially, a person's found dead. Investigators are contacted, and our narcotic investigators come to the overdoses, not our criminal investigators. They come, they use the machine, the Randox device, and they're able to test the victim for whatever it may be, methamphetamines, fentanyl, or a combination. And at that point, we begin the investigation, trying to determine source of supply, where the drugs came from, how they were delivered, and any other information. Of course, you know, the digital part of that is, you know, the phones, computers, all of those things, the gaming devices, you seize those and try to get into those. And luckily, in that case, we were able to go from, I believe the victim was killed on July 1st, and actually we were made an arrest on July 9th. So that's a pretty quick turnaround from basically going to a whodunit homicide to an arrest.
Yeah, so in the past, you would have taken the sample, it would be sent off to Montgomery, I think?
Oh, yeah, so yeah. You were talking about if we had to send the drugs off to Montgomery, because you got to have one thing, you got to have that cause of death, cause and manner of death, and if they're going to do the toxicology there, you're talking could be 6 months, and so there's no way you lose a lot of cases if you can't solve them in the first couple of days. Can you imagine how many you lose if you can't do anything for 6 months?
So this the Randox has changed that test.
It's absolutely changed it. It's a tremendous tool. We're very fortunate to have it.
All right, coming right back. More with Sheriff Lowry and your questions at 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:22, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 343-0106 for your text and phone calls, and continue our conversation with Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry. Hey, Sheriff, I want to get into this. We talked about the, you know, what's being done here on fentanyl and other drugs coming in that are obviously have, you know, no question are illegal. But here at home, at legislature this last year, you know, the HB 445 passes, and it leaves a lot of questions, at least the people I'm hearing from, about what can be sold in these shops, these local shops, these chains. What I mean, you're in the job of enforcing law. What's your understanding of this?
Well, I can tell you it's difficult because, you know, obviously the legislature has the right to change the law, and they've done that, and we're going to enforce it. But the problem is we've got to be educated. We've got to do it fairly and consistently throughout the county. And right now I just don't know that we're there. I think that's a situation where ALEA, ABC is going to be the regulatory agency on this. I think there's going to have to be a lot of education for law enforcement, for prosecutors, and, you know, obviously the store owners. Because we've had a few calls in to people with different businesses here in the county, and they want to be legal. They want to do things the right way. Unfortunately, it's just taking us a little while to figure out what the right way is.
Yeah, and that's tough on these store owners, and it's tough on y'all. I mean, you go in there. I mean, and also, how does it come in? Do you say, "Hey, we're going to check all these places," or there's a call made to go check somewhere? How does it come into law enforcement?
Well, usually, if we get a call for us to get involved, we get a complaint. I'll tell you, we've worked a couple of these before, and actually, they were ultimately charged with other drugs as well, marijuana and methamphetamine. So,
okay, well, that's an obvious, yeah.
Yeah, that's an obvious, but the complaint comes in. Hey, they're selling real marijuana or the real drugs out of the storefront. So we have worked those in the past, but that's not the people I'm talking about. Those people are going to be illegal no matter what, mm-hmm. you know, and we'll handle that. But I'm talking about the good business owners that have called and they're doing everything in their power to make sure that they're legal. Obviously, they don't want the bad press from law enforcement showing up and with a search right. warrant and arresting them, and they just want to follow the law. And so I think there's going to be a better job of educating the people that own these businesses. And then, Lord, I can't even imagine if you travel county to or state to state with all the little different laws, how you keep all that straight where you're at.
And I mean, that's the responsibility of the ABC. Or go, like who?
Yes.
So ABC, yes. If somebody was asking what's legal, ABC board is who you call. They would be, even though the bill came out.
They should tell you. Yeah. You know, the thing that we do know is that all hemp, the plant material itself, and any smokable products are unlawful and banned. So that's the one thing we can say. You can't have any of those things. And then, Where it gets tricky, I think, when you start talking about gummies can only have like 10 milligrams of total THC. Mm-hmm. And anyway, then you can't have so many milligrams in a package. I mean, there's a lot to this law here that changed.
Yeah, it seems Byzantine, some of that stuff. And then the question about synthetics, right? I read synthetics. Well,
yeah.
You synthesizing something could mean, you know, I mean, I would say if it goes from CBD into a gummy, it's been synthesized, right? Because it didn't grow as
absolutely.
A gummy. So I don't know. I mean, I good to hear you say, because I feel badly for the business owners as well that are trying, not the people, if they're selling drugs to help bust them, you know, whatever, but if they're doing the thing that was legal, they thought, and then they get busted, that's a bad deal.
Yeah, and you know, then we move on to the drinks, the beverages, hemp beverages. You know, there's all kind of rules, Sean, and there has to be so many square thousand, or maybe like 15,000 square foot storefront. I mean, it has to have a lot of other things in there that is just not normal.
And I don't know why that is, because, I mean, I do. I've lived here long enough, you know, but it seems to just favor certain people versus others. Like, if the thing is legal, I don't care if they sell it at the mom and pop store, the beverage, or the big grocery store. I mean, it's either it's legal or it's not.
Yeah, you know, I think the intent was to sell, make sure that we weren't selling to people under 21. I'm 100% for that.
But that's just like beer, right? I mean, we should get the laws
absolutely.
To card the people.
Absolutely. So, and anyway, I feel for the people that own the stores, obviously, if they're confused, but I'll tell you, we will get better. We'll educate ourselves. We'll work with the district attorney. So that we can help people when they call. But again, I think it's a responsibility that, you know, ALEA is going to be the regulatory agency when it comes to doing these inspections.
Just a quick thing here before the break. I'm going to come back a lot more. But I saw the story today. Started thinking about this. So northbound lanes of 65 on the Dolly Parton were closed for medical emergency. I started thinking about Baldwin County and the I'm not going to say the H word, but, you know, the evacuation routes and all that.
Sure,
We've had some issues now. It's been 10, 15 plus years ago, but y'all tuned in on that, like the contra flow and getting everybody off the beach and stuff? Is that?
Yeah, I'll say this. That's one thing the county, unfortunately, after all these years, you get better and better. Each experience you get, you know, you learn a little more. So I think the county's well equipped for that. We have a tremendous EMA in Baldwin County, mm-hmm. and our director, you know, they've got great people working. So I feel good about that. But yeah, the interstate's been shut down two or three times today for various reasons. But that was a horrible thing up there. But it was I've known they up and down. You guys, Friday afternoons, I can't even imagine right. trying to get from Baldwin County to Mobile or Mobile to Baldwin County. It's just something I'm gonna take 225 to I-65. I'm just not even gonna fool with I-10.
Yeah, and think about that on a normal, nothing's going on in the Gulf situation. Now all of a sudden you have let's say tons of tourists here, then something's going on in the Gulf, and tourists got to get out of here, go back to Birmingham or whatever, and local folks got to get moved north. I worry.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's what, you know, that's where tough decisions going to have to be made, because you're going to have to make that decision sooner, because we just don't have the infrastructure. So you can't sit and wait one more day, a few more hours before you make that decision. Unfortunately, there's going to be some vacations ruined, and you're not going to always make the right decision. You may evacuate somebody that, if you only had just a little bit more information, a little more time, you probably wouldn't have, but we only have so many roads to get people out.
Yeah, for sure. Coming right back, more Sheriff Lowry right here on Midday Mobile. Got your questions coming in on the text line at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Your chance to ask Sheriff Lowry, Baldwin County Sheriff Lowry, your questions at 343-0106. And this one coming in from B-Dark says, thank you, Sheriff Lowry, for helping ICE out. Now I can bid on jobs and still eat. What is the situation right now with y'all, the memorandum of understanding and your work with the feds?
Well, first, I'll let you be the breaking news. We actually have our inspection beginning tomorrow with ICE. It should be a two-day inspection, and I really feel strongly that we're going to be able to pass the inspection so we can house ICE detainees again. So,
okay, so this is at
2-hour period.
Baldwin County Jail, right?
At our jail, that's absolutely right, which is timely. Our jail, we'll move into the first portion of the new jail this week as well. And so, you know, some exciting things there. Now, as far as other immigration, I'll tell you, we've continued to work with our federal partners, and still doing some, you know, things where we're trying to target specific individuals, specific criminals, not just here illegally, but they're here illegally and they've done some bad things. And I'll say that's been an emphasis here lately, and I'm really happy to say it. The guys are doing great work.
Yeah, I do wonder, obviously, this conversation perennial on this show about the immigration and coming off what happened down in Gulf Shores with the high school and all that. The contractors, subcontractors, you and I talked about it from an ag side of it, right? Something that, you know, is familiar to me, the ag world. How far does the business owner have to go to verify? I mean, if I hire you, you've got, Lowry, you're my subcontractor, you're going to bring people in for harvest time at the farm, whatever. If you tell me you're on the up and up and you've got everything checked off and I'm not allowed to check behind you because you can't give me the same information because of, then how responsible am I? That's where it gets confusing. Where does the buck stop?
Well, and that's the thing. And again, I go back to that word I said earlier, discretion. You know, we have to have discretion, and when we're enforcing these things, and not just, you know, falsified documents related to immigration. I mean, Lord, there are driver's licenses out there that kids get these fake IDs that look absolutely genuine. And I don't know how you can expect a one or two man HR department on a farm to understand all of that either. And so I think that's one of those things that we're going to have to be very careful moving forward there in enforcing those things. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of ability out there to get false documents and make them look very, very real.
Right. And, you know, when they talked about in the past, well, E-Verify was going to solve this and this other was going to solve that, But yeah, that person, if the thing is written in crayon on a piece of construction paper, then they should know better. But if it, like you said, with the IDs, it's just that what the kids get for fake ID, if it's something like that, I don't know where the buck stops on that. And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how you can hold anybody, the farmer, accountable. I just don't think we're going to go down that road. I mean, because there's got to be some intent there and to commit a crime. And I just don't see the farmers, if they've gone through the process and they've done all of that work to try to get that and make sure that they're legal, I don't know how you could show that there was any intent to do anything wrong. And so that's something we certainly are going to be very aware of and make sure that we're doing the things that, you know, not just the legal way, but really the right way.
Yeah, people do talk about, this is all anecdotal, so although there's some national numbers on jobs going up for legally born, legal Americans or those things, I wonder if there's not some element of, with the pressure and the enforcement going on, there's some self-deporting, for lack of a better term, going on in Baldwin County, Mobile County as well.
Well, I think so. I mean, and that's not just, you know, when it comes to illegal immigration, it's most things. When you start applying heavy pressure, people are going to go where there's a lot less pressure. And I promise you there's a network out there that this information spread among the illegals, and they know, you know, they know where it's tough and they know where it's safer, and they're probably definitely at least deporting themselves at some other part of the country.
This from our earlier conversation, but this texter says, it really hurts my wife that has thyroid problems and has nausea, and it's hard to eat. You know, that's one of the frustrations, too, is this is me chirping, as I always do, about Montgomery. But the medical marijuana bill that is now four years old, dang near years old since passage. So the people that need it medically aren't getting it because of, I think, a poorly written bill and not seeing the possible outcomes here. That's held up. And then the people that have been getting CBD or whatever from these shops are now scared. They don't know what's legal in those shops. So it's not just the shop owners and people that, you know, choose to do it or whatever. It's now these people that were using that to fill in where they couldn't get legal medical marijuana products.
Yeah, I mean, let's make no mistake. The legislature has legalized it. So whether you're for it, against it, or indifferent to the marijuana, the THC, it's been legalized and through different forms. But, you know, my point is, you know, much like your texter there, these are the things we've been able to do. They get changed up a little bit. Now we're confused on what we can do. But make no mistake, all the things are still legal, with the exception of the couple things we talked about, the smokable hemp.
Okay.
So I see the frustration.
Yeah, because that part is, that was the easy one, right? No flour, no smokable. Yeah. Okay, cool. We know, we can all picture what that is, and we're good. But all this other stuff, this mess, I'll put it as, I look through the thing. I don't know what would be legal and not legal.
Yeah. So again, I hope that the people really take time and a lot of discretion in enforcing this law, and make sure that we educate again the public, and the consumer, and the people selling.
Okay. Yeah. This from Curtis said, to ask you, said, we've had to call the sheriff's department dozens of times about dogs and horses being on my property. Is the only answer to unfortunately shoot the animals to keep my kids and property safe?
Well, first of all, you absolutely have a right to protect your property. And so, but again, we respond to those calls every day, dogs running at large, and the livestock laws are a little different, but and we have a unit that's, you know, to address those. But I don't know that shooting them is always the best answer. Even if you're not criminally liable, if there's for some reason, keep in mind you still may be civilly liable. So I'd be very careful about that. I would definitely call the sheriff's office.
All right. This unnamed texter said, I sell those products to convenience stores, and it has killed my business. Many smoke shops have shut down as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what you're going to see. You know, that was one of the things that was a unfortunate part of the law. People that invested in businesses with a business model probably can't use that same model now.
Let's see. Mixture says, in the case of getting apprehended, drug dealers would rather have a raggedy boat seized than $250,000 Bertram. Yeah, that's
Bertram, a no-brainer there, huh?
Yeah. Bertram go for more than that. Although, old boats that stay in the older sport fishermen that stay in the water. Those I check Facebook Marketplace. They sell for cheaper than I thought.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You've noticed that, but then you got to keep it in the water. So, this one here, where can I get concealed carry permit for Baldwin County?
So you can go online, go to our official Facebook page, and you can see the links from our Facebook page, Baldwin County Sheriff.gov. You can go there, and you can do it all online, or you can go to Fairhope and Foley Courthouses or our main office here in Bay Minette at 320 North Hoyle Avenue. You know, and I think maybe you and Sheriff Birch might have talked about this too. One of the benefits of having a pistol permit, you bypass the NIC check at gun shows and mm-hmm. different places like that too. You know, and as I've told you, it's a great form of government ID. And we appreciate it, and we try to spend that money wisely and effectively.
Hey, give us an idea. I mean, I think you just talked about a little bit of it. What would you use that for? What would that, give me just an example. Not, you don't have to delineate everything. What would you use that money for?
Well, so the latest thing, we bought a whole round of new ballistic plates, rifle plates, for our deputies to wear. They're a lot lighter. They're a lot thinner, so they can wear them all the time. It's not just when you're putting them on going to a hot call. They can wear them all day long, and so that makes a difference. You don't have them taking them on and off. You know, the old ceramic plates, or, you know, they're really heavy and bulky and all of that. Those are type things that we spend money on, so things that'll protect our deputies. And then sometimes we have to use that money to help investigate cases and things along those lines too.
Yeah, so. The example you've given before, I thought this, and that anybody who runs a business and has to add software, more employees, or sure. that kind of thing, because y'all, once again, like I'm ready for y'all to fish the pond out on both sides of the bay, but it seems like there's more creeps out there, more bust here on.
The tips come in daily, Sean, and we're gonna keep
daily
working them.
Daily for people with child, you know, messing with exploited children and child pornography. It's daily.
It's daily, absolutely.
Think about that, y'all. Daily.
And our guys are working on numerous cases all at one time, and so we had a guy retire out of that division, so we're about to put another person in there. Of course, you got to bring them up to speed, and they've got to be educated in not only the digital investigation, but everything that goes to testifying the prosecution. So, and I will tell you, this is one of the downsides of immigration enforcement. Some of those guys that would help us, HSI was one of our biggest allies when it came to fighting child porn and investigating those cases. They're spending a lot of time working immigration right now.
Yeah, and so you lose some of the staff there. But you had talked about on the software side, like some of the money, there's something y'all were using, I think, or for the phones to crack them or something
sure,
like that.
Yeah,
and if y'all think about this, it's like you've got the way I felt, and you can correct me, but it's like if I've got 10 XLS Microsoft stuff here for my employees, and then we get new people, I have to add on top, you know, then I have to add each one. Cost me more money. Is it like that for this?
It's more of a situation. So we bought a package, and in this package for I think it was maybe $46,000, you could do up to 50 phones investigations. Well, of course, we weren't even halfway through our budget year, and unfortunately, with the numbers of phones that we got in, we had to take that money so we could buy another 50 phones, if that makes sense. Another 50 licenses to open phones.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's some real world. I think that's easier for us to understand, you know, on software like that, because we've kind of all gone through that. All right. Coming back, more of y'all's questions for Sheriff Lowry at 343-0106. 343-0106. Be right back. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and your chance to ask the sheriff, Baldwin County Sheriff Lowry, our guest right here on Midday Mobile. Let's grab a couple of these texts here. Let's see. Yeah, I was going to bring this up. Somebody else brought it up. Looks like the shark alert has now gone to Washington. You saw that?
Yeah, it's nationwide now, right?
Oh, if we had all the alerts possible, phones would never stop ringing out there. Although the one that we ran for a little while in Mobile County, I thought was interesting and has gone away. But did you hear about this one that would alert you if there was a high-speed chase going on? Like if it was in your area?
We tried that software in some of our vehicles, and it wasn't really effective for us. It didn't seem to be. You would sign up for an app, and then if a chase got within so many miles of you, it would, I guess, be able to tell you that it was coming.
Yeah. I like that idea. Did it just not work? Because I was thinking about, like, for my kids to have it in their car, to pull over, get in the parking lot, just
right.
Pull up, you know.
It just wasn't reliable, and that was the problem. And so, anyway, we went away from it. But hopefully down the road, somebody will develop another product closer to that. And anything that we can do, you know, I'm all about trying to make these pursuits short and, you know, both in time and distance and keeping people safe. But we have to do them. I mean, you have to. You don't have a choice.
Hopefully, go back to my cliched, hey, I can see pictures and video from Mars. Can't we get an app done that's solid that lets us know they're high speed chasing our area so we can pull off the dang road, you know?
Yeah. So we're going to push a new app that comes out. Our sheriff's app, it'll be upgraded here hopefully by the end of this month, actually, but if not early August, we'll get it out and it'll have everybody's favorite thing. Our jail bookings will be on there. I'm actually going to have that where that's push, anybody that signs up for the notifications, we'll push those to you every morning at whatever 6 o'clock. So when you get up, they'll be sitting there waiting on you and your coffee to see what happened overnight in Baldwin County.
It's the most popular for y'all, for Mobile County. I'm sure for sheriff's departments anywhere, it's the most popular part of their web presence.
Yes. Any time it goes down, we'll get numerous calls each day or emails asking what's wrong with it. So I just appreciate people paying attention, honestly.
From the text line here, Bill says, if there's one thing our state doesn't need is more smoke shops. I challenge anyone to name one smoke shop location where the community or surrounding area is better off. Steve asked, Sheriff, is it illegal to add tinted windows? If so, why?
Tinted windows
I guess it says, is this illegal? Is this illegal to add tinted windows? If so, why? I don't know what specific vehicle. Maybe there was supposed to be a picture with it.
I'm not
sure.
Yeah, I mean, there is a obviously there's a limit on what tint you can add, how dark you can be, and you can have that test. If you come by the sheriff's office, we can tell you if your tint's too dark. Unfortunately, it's too dark. We're going to tell you you got to have it off there in 7 days. But you can have that tested, but any potty that put those laws are available on the internet to look those up. But as far as putting them on a building, I don't know if that's what he's talking about. But no, I don't know of anything that would not allow you to do that.
Michael says, I love using my concealed carry permit when voting, even though they normally ask for my driver's license instead. Let's see. Jim in Georgetown said, question about illegal alien workers, home builders. D.R. Horton, if y'all can say that hire subs, that hire illegal aliens, for some reason are not held accountable for employing illegals, just the subs. Who believes the builder doesn't know? So why are just the subs punished, even if they are?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this 100 times, but, you know, we're building a new jail. So the county commission contracted with our contractor, who contracts with, I mean, numerous subs. And, of course, you require them to sign legal documents saying that they will use only legal workers, verified workers, and all that sort of stuff. But as you work down the chain in that subcontractor, and then he gets someone, you know, you can only do your best management practices, you can require them to have only legal workers. But being able to prove that, you know, also I can see where that would be tough, too. Again, when you get down... We're not talking about a company here that's nationwide. You're talking about a mom-and-pop store that's come in or construction company that has the one-man HR department. You know, again, there's a lot to be put on that person.
And reminder here, too, let's see this, just asking the reciprocity. Tony says, I have a concealed carry for Alabama and Texas for reciprocity when I travel. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to have it, let alone helping fund your local sheriff. And by the way, y'all, Sheriff, you can correct me, is don't get the lifetime because that 100% goes to Montgomery?
Absolutely, it goes to Montgomery. And we all know that sometimes we're not happy the way they spend our money in Montgomery. So, if you buy a 5-year or less and it gets to stay in Baldwin County, it actually directly benefits those deputies that are on the road. So we do appreciate that. But, yes, I mean, the reciprocity is a big deal. And, again, unless you educate yourself, you don't know what state you're going to go through and they're going to ask you for a pistol permit. Get pulled over.
Absolutely. And there's some states, y'all, while we're talking about this, that don't recognize ours, but there's online maps that show you where all that goes on. All right. The app you mentioned, when's that going to be available?
So we're hoping to push this out at the end of July or first. Have a lot more information. It'll have more than just who was arrested and what they were arrested for, but it'll show crime trends in the county. There'll be a message from me on there. We'll try to keep updated, but it'll have a lot more resources than we've ever had. And actually, when we download something to that app, you can get a push notification on that. It'll pop to our Facebook page and Instagram, and all of those things, too, will be populated.
Good stuff. Sheriff Lowry, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next month.
All right. Good talking to you, Sean.
All right. There goes Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile, hour number 2.